Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, March 14th. Legislative leaders in both parties have coalesced around a compromise transportation bill to send a tax increase to voters this fall. If approved, it would increase sales taxes by a little more than half a cent and use the money for road, bridge, and transit projects. It is already dividing the GOP, with opponents saying Colorado hasn't done enough to tighten its budget and find efficiencies. Benta Berkland talks to State House reporters about the proposal and the political dynamics at play.
I'm here with Charles Ashby, a reporter for the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, and Ed Sealever with the Denver Business Journal. State leaders from the governor to top Republicans and Democrats have said Colorado needs to ease congestion, repave roads, improve transit, and be able to compete economically as well as prepare for a growing population. Sometimes these big ideas either don't happen, or if they do, a bill comes very late in the session and time often runs out. Are either of you surprised that we already have a bipartisan bill and it's pretty early in the session?
You know, on the last show, I said that I didn't think there was enough political will to put these things on the ballot. Well, they're trying to prove me wrong, I guess. I am surprised. They've been talking about this issue for the last 20 years. For them to actually come together on this deal, whatever it ends up looking like at the end, kudos to them for working at it and doing it.
What's this political fight going to be like, especially on the right, where members are very reluctant to support any tax increases, and you've got a lot of outside groups that will be lobbying against this?
Yeah, it's going to be tougher on the right than on the left. Actually, the way they were negotiating this, you thought they would have had trouble both ways. Transit advocates, for example, had said in the last couple of weeks, we want 30% of the stipend out of this. They only got 17% in the bill, but they're generally coming around saying, hey, well, never mind, we're happy with that now. The right, however, had said, we want you to cut some significant state funding in order to put into the revenue stream to show the state has skin in the game. Well, that didn't happen. I mean, they're cutting back $75 million a year in car registration fees, and they're making the Department of Transportation find another $50 million a year, but there's no real cuts that have been identified here. House Republicans came out vehemently against this, saying they were really angry that they hadn't been included in the negotiations and will work vigorously against this. They, remind you, this is a bill that is sponsored by the Senate president, a Republican, and the House Republicans are saying that. Meanwhile, you have outside groups like the Independence Institute who are coming out and saying, we're going to kill this at the ballot. Look, people voted down school funding 2-1. They're going to vote down transportation funding in the same way. It is going to be a tough fight, no doubt, to try to get voters to give money to this. Although I will say that this is consistently polled higher than any other subject in recent years on voters' concerns. So if there's any place they're going to give more money to, it's going to be this area.
And it's something people are familiar with if they're on the roads or biking, even if they take buses.
And that's what they're counting on. And that's why they're basing this on a project list that's already created by CDOT, that's already gone through that process. The bottom-up approach, it's the way it's always done, includes transit stuff that's in there. It includes whatever local project that you want. And it's not like, you know, past transbond efforts that we've done before that had a listing of things. Here, we're going to do this there. We're going to hope to do that over there. Because it does come with a $3.5 billion bonding. And it's taken out of the legislature, so they can't be tinkering with, you know, who's going to get the money. Is it going to go to I-25 or is it going to go to I-70 or where it's going to go? So that's actually, I think, very smart on their part.
What about the larger economic argument that Colorado has to be competitive across the country and with neighboring states to attract workers? We have a huge outdoor industry and an economy that relies on people being able to get around the state.
A coworker and I at the Denver Business Journal just penned a story about our competition with Utah and how the governor and the state's outdoor recreation industry office and the state's transportation director and everyone is almost portraying Utah as the boogeyman now. They are coming in for our jobs. They are spending four times as much as we are on roads. They are getting better at their economic incentives. Companies have a lot of places to look at now where they want to expand or relocate. We've got to make sure they can move their goods across the state, especially as we're making a specific push for advanced manufacturing and tech companies and others that need to transport their products. So that's going to be a bigger argument. Although, frankly, I think the best argument they can point to now is, hey, how was your last drive on I-25? Hey, how was your last drive on I-70? Nobody is going to say, yeah, I enjoyed that drive.
Thanks, Ed Seelover with the Denver Business Journal, Charles Ashby with the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel. I'm Benta Berkland, and this is Capital Conversation.
Colorado scientists and environmentalists are questioning the new EPA chief on some of his beliefs about climate change. Eric Galatis has this story.
Folks in the scientific community are scratching their heads over comments made by the new head of the Environmental Protection Agency. Scott Pruitt, sworn in as EPA administrator just weeks ago, told reporters on Thursday that carbon dioxide is not a major source of global warming, and he questions human activity as a culprit. Emma Spett with Environment Colorado says there's a serious disconnect between Pruitt and scientific consensus.
97% of scientists agree that climate change is a human-caused issue, that the emissions that we are putting into the atmosphere are causing our climate to change more rapidly than it ever has before.
With Pruitt in charge of the agency tasked with protecting the public's air and water, Spett says he could set the nation back in the struggle to mitigate against the most catastrophic effects of climate change. Pruitt's remarks are being countered, for the most part, by scientists, environmentalists, and the former head of the EPA. Pruitt did note that continued analysis on climate change is needed. A professor of Earth Systems Science at Stanford University, Noah Diffenbaugh, says in order to build resilience to protect Americans from climate stresses, there also must be acknowledgement from the top that the climate is changing.
The good news is that we have a lot of opportunities to create win-wins, to create infrastructure and resource management systems, how we manage our water and agriculture and other resources in ways that protect ourselves from climate change now and make us more prepared for the future.
Pruitt's comments are in line with President Donald Trump's take on the issue. Trump has described climate change as a hoax and promised on the campaign trail to roll back policies he sees as overregulation, even as they curb pollution that spurs climate change. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
A Republican proposal to change how the taxpayer's Bill of Rights is calculated has cleared the House, but its future is uncertain. Benta Berkland has more.
Even though House Bill 1187 has a Republican sponsor, most in the GOP don't like it. It would change Tabor's growth limit and base it on personal income instead of population increases and inflation. The idea is to keep more tax money for roads, schools, and transportation. Here's Senate President Kevin Grantham, a Republican.
I question many things about that. I support that it will get a fair hearing.
Grantham feels the bill's passage could also hurt prospects for a bipartisan bill he's backing. It would send a ballot question to voters asking for a sales tax increase for transportation.
We're trying to keep things simple and uncomplicated.
Grantham doesn't think a separate Tabor ballot question would help. That bill still needs a hearing in the Senate. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
And that was your KVNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening. Thank you.